All right. I hope you guys enjoyed the Sunday 7. It's always fun, especially when we have so many new people joining us like today. It's just great to see everyone start to connect a little bit. It's a huge heart behind who we are at Harvest City. Like, we want to help new people get connected right off the bat. And that's probably one of the best things about a brand new church is that everyone is relatively new here, even if you've been here like a handful of times. So I hope that you got to connect with some folks during the Sunday 7. As we've said already, happy Mother's Day. I hope the moms in the room feel celebrated today. I heard from some of you just the plans going on for this afternoon. Hopefully it's filled with just a lot of good family time and celebrations here. But moms, we value you a ton. It goes without saying the impact that a mother can have on a family. And we're going to talk more about this today later on, but I just want to say right off the bat, like, no one can match the impact of a mother. And I say that as a dad, like, dads, we have our own place, and no one can match that impact as well. But the role of a mom is something that is you can't replicate it. And so you guys play such a great role and a powerful role in a family and in their life of a child. And I just want to take a moment here to pray for all of the moms here this morning, to pray a blessing over you. So would you just join me in praying? Heavenly Father, I lift up each and every mother here. I pray for everyone who is also a grandmother here, that you would bless them today, Father, that you would just be in their hearts and let them be filled with joy that comes from the Spirit as they look at their family. And obviously, you know, families are not perfect by any means, Lord, but we know, Lord, that you are in the midst of all of the mess and all of the difficult things with family and also the joyous things, Lord. And I just pray that today you would overwhelm each and every family and especially the moms with joy today, Father, because we know that you are a good God and you take joy when people live out the calling that you have given them, Lord. And so I pray for all the moms that you would give them strength in their roles as mothers and that you would give them above and beyond an extra measure of joy in that work, Lord, that you have called them to. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get started this morning in God's Word, I've got a scenario for you, and maybe you've been in this position before. Think of yourself in a carpool. Right? You're in a group of people. There's too many people to all get in one car, so you've got to take two. And you volunteer to drive the second car. But the thing is, you don't know the way to where you are going. Only the driver in the first car knows the way. And so your job is to try to stay in lockstep with that vehicle in front of you. But here's the problem. It's rush hour traffic. There are stoplights, there are pedestrians, there are cyclists, there's all sorts of these obstacles between you and staying with that vehicle in front of you. And to further complicate matters, the driver in the car in front of you seems to have completely forgotten that there is someone following them. Have you been in this position before? I know I have. And you see that person, they start switching lanes, they're trying to make the most time, and yet you're like, do they even remember that I'm trying to follow them? If you've been in that position before, you know how frustrating it is. And I want to imagine for a second, you're trying to watch that car in front of you and where it's going. You're coming to an intersection. And at the last second, he switches lanes and turns to the right, and you don't have time to get over and make that turn. And the only choice you have is to keep going straight through that intersection. You've lost that car. And you're thinking to yourself, what do I do now? And in that moment, you feel lost. You feel a little bit mad at the car, at the driver of the other vehicle, right? And you're sitting there thinking, how do I get back on the path? I don't even know where I'm supposed to be going. Does that scenario at all feel like trying to follow the lead of the Lord in your life? Because I know there's been times in my life where trying to stay in lockstep with the Lord feels like a daunting task. And I think we all crave clarity in our lives as to what we are to do next. And we try to follow the lead of the Lord the best that we can, try to get enough clarity to move in the right direction. All the while, it seems like we just don't have enough. There's not enough for us. We want more clarity. And really, I think what's behind that is sometimes we idolize control in our lives. We want control, and we don't want to just be a passenger. We crave predictability. We want things to stay in a routine so that we know what to expect. But oftentimes, life is not like that. And we inevitably find ourselves facing the fact that we were not created to know the future. It's hard enough for human beings to predict the weather. I mean, you talk about trying to understand what's going to happen 7 days from now in an atmosphere and in a world where there are really an infinite number of factors that play into this. I mean, we've been the victim of bad weather reports, have we not? And we think we've got this down to a science where we can predict what's going to happen. And yet still, we inevitably find ourselves unable to predict what's going to happen. You see, trying to know fully what is going to happen and predict what's going to happen in life is impossible. We weren't created to know that, but instead we were created to follow someone who knows the way. While we may want turn-by-turn directions, this is not what life gives us. But life is not really just leaving us up to our own devices to figure it out either. Because especially as followers of Jesus, we know that God does not leave us to simply find our own way. God leads us, and he leads us through circumstances, the things he puts in our lives. He leads us through other people that have impact on us. He puts impressions on our heart saying, you should go talk to this person. You should get on the phone and give so-and-so a call. I do believe that God does give dreams, he gives visions, and he gives specific words, but more often than not, he leads us through everyday occurrences. The Holy Spirit is alive and active in your life as a follower of Jesus. And today, in Paul's second missionary journey in the book of Acts, we're going to see the leading of the Holy Spirit in that time in Paul's life. We're going to see multiple ways that God directs the Apostle Paul on this journey. And we're going to see three specific ways that we can follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. So if you've got a Bible, open up with me to Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. We'll have it on the screen as well. You're welcome to follow along in whatever translation is best for you. But we're going to read from the New Living Translation this morning. I'm going to start with Acts 15, 36 through 41. We'll make our way through verse 10 in chapter 16 today. It says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. And then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to pray and ask God to open the eyes of our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, would you open the eyes of our hearts to receive from your word what you have for us today? Would you bring clarity to your word today, Father? Would you silence any words in me that are not from you? And would they truly be your words for us here today? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So last week, if you were with us, you know we tracked through chapter 15. We saw this council take place in Jerusalem where all of these delegates, if you will, from these churches around the region gathered, and they gathered to answer two very specific questions. Number one, we've got all of these Gentiles, these non-Jewish people, coming to faith in Christ. Question number one was, what is required for the Gentiles to be saved? And of course, we saw that it is by grace that they are saved through faith alone, not a result of works, but it is a gift of God, to quote from Ephesians. We saw this because they chose not to require Gentiles to be circumcised in order to be saved. We also saw them answer the question of how Jews and Gentiles can honor one another in relationship as they come together as the church. We saw four specific things that they were to abstain from. One being food sacrificed to idols. Gentiles were told not to eat these out of honoring their Jewish brothers and sisters. To abstain from eating blood, from eating strangled animals, and from sexual immorality, which is a timeless command that sex takes place within the confines of marriage between a man and a woman. And that one is true for us today as well. After this letter was sent to these churches relaying this information, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, where they had left on their first journey, and they started teaching the church there for a while. But as we see here, it wasn't long before Paul started to get the itch. He started to get the itch that we need to go back to these churches. We have to go and see how they are doing. And I think this particularly gives us a pretty good glimpse into the personality of the Apostle Paul here. Paul cares tremendously about these new believers. He knew the pressures and dangers that they faced, particularly because Paul was stoned to within an inch of his life in one of these cities. All the while, Paul decided that he and Barnabas needed to visit these churches now. They needed to go back. And certainly they had more in store for them than just visiting the churches they had been to before, as we'll see. But there's a problem that came up here surrounding the person of John Mark. You know, what happened with John Mark? Well, we are told that as they were going to Pamphylia on their first journey, John Mark all of a sudden decided, I need to go back home. And we don't know exactly why John Mark had to leave, but we are told here in verse 8 that John Mark deserted them. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? To say that he deserted Paul and Barnabas. And I don't get the impression here that Paul was a warm, fuzzy kind of a guy. To try to understand the Apostle Paul here, I think he cared about people tremendously. I mean, it's not like Paul didn't care about people. He risked his life to go and tell them about Jesus. But it seems to me that Paul is more task-oriented than people-oriented. And there's nothing wrong with being task-oriented. I mean, raise your hand if you would describe yourself as being task-oriented versus people-oriented. I see a couple of hands kind of maybe go up, like that might be me. Okay, maybe we can give you a little more confidence here in that, because if you're task-oriented, understand that God used Paul tremendously. Needless to say, right? On the other hand, consider Barnabas here. His name literally means son of encouragement. You don't get the name son of encouragement by being a cold, kind of cerebral person, right? You get the name Barnabas from being a people person. You see, what we see here is Barnabas was likely more people-oriented, and relationships were paramount for him. Raise your hand if you're more of a people person than a task person. I see a lot of hands going up there. You see, Paul and Barnabas were two devoted followers of Jesus, but they were two very different people. And this is where we have to understand that God creates and shapes us each differently to respond and to follow the calling that he has for us, right? It doesn't mean it's bad to be people-oriented. It's not bad to be task-oriented. We need each other in the church. And God has different roles and intentions for each of us. Paul and Barnabas agreed here that it's best that we part ways so that each of us can follow the calling that God has placed on us. And we see Barnabas and John Mark take a journey to Cyprus while Paul chooses Silas, and they go to what is modern-day Turkey, and they visit these churches that they had gone to. The first thing here that we can see to follow the Lord's leading in our life is sometimes where the Holy Spirit is leading us might not be where he is leading someone else. See, sometimes I think we get all wrapped up in needing the affirmation of people that just want to go with us and do everything that we're doing, when oftentimes what we need to realize is God is up to something different in each and every person's life. And where John Mark here is sent with Barnabas, John Mark became incredibly influential. I mean, he's the author of Mark's gospel in Scripture. God's journey with John Mark was not done at this time in place. Indeed, he traveled with the Apostle Peter And God did miraculous things and crazy, awesome things through John Mark, just as he did through Paul, through Silas, and Barnabas. And the point that I want you to understand here is that God has made you. Don't skip over that reality. God has made you. He cares about you, and he has fashioned you the way he has. He's given you the gifts that he has to direct you where he wants you to go. God is going to steer you with your experiences. He will bring people into your life to impact you, because God wastes no experiences or relationships in our lives. He's going to lead you through all of your life experiences to lead you where he wants you to go. All that being said, there are some boundaries on where God will lead. He's not going to lead you to disobey or disregard what is written in his word. It's our flesh that leads us to do those things. You see, as a follower of Christ, within you, you basically have two versions of yourself, I'll say, that are at war within you. There is the flesh, which is everything that despises God, does not want to honor God, doesn't love God, and you have the Spirit in you that is leading you to honor and love God. And as we continue as followers of Christ, it is the Spirit that will lead us into greater and greater expressions and experiences of God's grace in our life, to the extent that we can yield to the Spirit's leading. So, let's see what happened here with Paul and Silas in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 16. It says, Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, and so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. And then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. It's crazy to me how the very city where Paul was stoned to within an inch of his life, where he almost died, is the very same city where he meets his protege, Timothy. And Timothy becomes, as I said, Paul's protege throughout the rest of Paul's life. And God is going to lead Timothy with the way that he has constructed him. Okay, think of Timothy's background, right? He is both Jewish and Gentile, meaning he can relate to both of these groups that are now calling, that are now coming together in the church. Right? The unique thing about Timothy, though, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, is that Timothy was Jewish on his mom's side and Greek on his dad's side. He was well-liked by the Jewish people, and yet he could relate to Gentiles as well. So God is going to use Timothy's cultural background here to lead him into his calling, which eventually Timothy will become the lead elder or the lead pastor of the church in Ephesus, where Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians. So this is just the beginning of Timothy's journey here. So consider this about what's happening in the background, though. Remember, if you remember from chapter 15, how much Paul and Barnabas argued that you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And yet here we see Paul arranges for Timothy to indeed be circumcised. What's going on there? Is Paul all of a sudden reversing course on this question? He's not. Instead, there is in place here a hierarchy of priorities for the Apostle Paul. And at the top of those priorities is to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is willing to set aside his preference, if you will, because the priority of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ is the most important. That doesn't change Paul's theology about circumcision at all. It just means that it wasn't the most important thing at this time. And yes, we're going to talk about what this meant for Timothy as well. But here for Paul, understand that his priority of seeing people come to faith in the gospel is what allowed him to set aside his preference on this theological issue. All the while, you have Timothy. Timothy We don't have to question his commitment to the gospel here. It's not hard to see how Timothy's commitment to the gospel was tested here, but indeed, he was committed to seeing as many people as possible come to faith in Jesus. And so his submission to this whole plan was in order to see as many people come to faith in Christ as possible. And that's a heart check for us as followers of Jesus, because there are so many times where our priorities get all mixed up and our preferences get in the way of the priority of seeing people come to faith in Jesus. And this is the second thing that we have to do in order to allow the Lord to lead us in our lives, is to let God's priorities hold sway instead of our personal preferences. Now, it takes a lot of humility to be able to do that. You have to set aside maybe the way that you would do things or the way that you wish some people would be and act in a certain way of life in order to prioritize what's most important, which is the gospel. But when we let our preferences get in the way, it's easier to build barriers instead of building bridges, right? We want to build a bridge for the gospel and see that as most important. Because each and every individual, regardless of what they think of different issues, how they think differently than us, they're made in the image of God, and our role is to help them come into a saving relationship with Jesus to the extent that we can. So let us not let our preferences get in the way of this ultimate priority at Harvest City and in our lives. Now, it's Mother's Day, obviously, and I didn't plan this at all, but we come to this section of Scripture today, and I think it's a God thing, because we talk about Timothy's lineage here. We talk about his mother and his mother here, who was a Jewish believer. And let me tell you what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, about Timothy's family. He said, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you." That's remarkable. Three generations of faithful lineage, starting with Timothy's grandmother to his mother, and now to Timothy himself. So moms, I'm going to talk directly to you right now. Never underestimate the impact that you have in your families each and every day. Because as I said earlier, no one can influence your kids the way that you can. You have a God-given calling to nurture faith and encourage your kids toward Jesus and choosing Him over everything that this world might offer them. God is working through your motherhood. And never underestimate the impact that you have. So we see Paul, Silas, and now Timothy continuing west and north across Turkey, and they come to the coast of the Aegean Sea, which separates Greece from Turkey. And then we're going to finish here with verses 6 through 10, which says, "Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there." You catch it? Two times it says the Holy Spirit prevented them from going somewhere, from preaching the gospel to somebody. I don't know how or why that happened. We just know that God closed the door. And what I find remarkable here is that going to Troas was not their initial intent. It wasn't the plan from the beginning. Their intention, as we just read, was to go further north into a region called Bithynia and preach the gospel there. God had given Paul and Silas enough clarity to start moving along the path. And then from there, God directed them. He changed their course and gave them just enough clarity to get moving to the next step. That's the way God works for us in our lives too. He gives us just enough clarity to get us moving. It's like when you punch in a new address in Google Maps and you hit the directions button, what pops up is that blue line that weaves on the highways and county roads to where you need to go. And that gives you, at least it gives me, enough confidence to say, okay, this is where I'm kind of going. I know that I'm going to head in this direction. Instead of doing the turn-by-turn navigation, because that's just too easy. But on the way, inevitably, you hit traffic or you hit an accident or something redirects you. And this is just the way it is in life, because God will use an infinite number of things to direct and redirect again in your life. He'll do that more than you can possibly imagine and in ways that you don't even realize. His greater plan for Paul and Barnabas is on display here when God closed the door and led them a different way. You see, more often God will use the ordinary things in life, events, conversations, and opportunities that he presents us to lead us to what is next. You can discern God's leading in your life through prayer, through seeking the counsel from other wise believers in your life, and by looking for the next opportunity to be used by God as an extension of his grace. A story that I wanted to share with you about starting Harvest City here. I mean, when we started down this path, God really clarified this vision in three ways: through conversations, through divine appointments, and unanticipated provisions. He started by leading me to come into contact with other people who had planted churches before. It's not like I grew up thinking I was going to do this crazy thing like starting a church, but it was just a series of conversations with people at our denomination, then also with people within the school district, Eastern Carver County Schools. I mean, the doors just kept opening for us to meet here in Carver, right at this school. He created divine appointments for us. Here in Carver to meet community members, to meet people that were interested in the church. Many of you are here in this room today, were divine appointments that just kept us going in the direction of leading and starting this church. And he led us through unanticipated provision. See, when you start a church, you got to raise some finances, right? And certainly you get on the phone and you start calling everybody you know, seeing if they were interested in supporting it. Inevitably, though, the way God led along with all of the individuals in our lives is he blessed us tremendously with some churches coming alongside us that really I had no intention or really no knowledge of who they were. There's a church way out in Wilmer, Minnesota called Refuge. I'd never heard of before, never even been to Wilmer, let alone Hutchinson. But I met, Converge connected us with them. Our denomination brought us together, and these guys were excited about planting a church, but they didn't know where. They didn't have a planting pastor. They didn't have any inkling of where they would plant, and yet, let alone, we ended up being that planter. We ended up being that church that they supported. Also a church in Rogers called Northridge, same type of thing. God connected us, and they got behind us in a major way. It's not like I can sit here and claim like I was persistent. I kept on the phones. I kept calling them. I kept sharing the vision, even though they were kind of edgy. It was like God just plopped it, and he did it. And so here we are today. And I'll close up here. I was walking around here today, and just to share a little bit of what's been on my heart, like I was walking around here today thinking of all the people that come together on a Sunday to put this thing together. And I just had this overwhelming sense of just thankfulness for each and every one of you, because this is, I mean, it's not easy by any means, but you guys make it a whole lot easier by your attitudes and the way that you bring energy each and every Sunday, and it's without you, this wouldn't be happening. And so thank you guys, and I hope God's building your faith as you're a part of this as well. Last way to follow the Lord's lead is to look for your next opportunity to be in an extension of God's grace. Look for your next opportunity, the next conversation, the next arrangement that God brings into your life. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning in your word. I ask that you would bless each and every one of us as we go from here, Lord. I pray that you would just enliven our hearts, that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit, God, through conversations, through divine appointments, ways that we don't even realize you're leading us, God. You're doing 1,000 things, 10,000 things in our life at any one point in time, and sometimes we are only aware of one or two of those things. And so I just thank you that you are in control, you're the God of the universe, and yet you care intricately about each and every one of our lives, Lord. Would you lead us to follow you in each of our callings, Lord? Would you give us the clarity to take another step forward each and every day toward you? In Jesus' name I pray, amen.